we're going to talk about tree care today, what you should and should not be doing this time of year. Many of us, there's certain projects that revolve around tree maintenance that is typically done in late winter, early spring. But many of us decide, we'll wait on that because it's cold and there's a lot of snow on the ground, and we didn't get to those things.
Well, first, you know, Arbor Day was not too long ago.
Right.
And so people plant trees during Arbor Day. If you didn't plant a tree or you want to plant a tree, you want to plant the right tree.
Right. But there's really no wrong time to plant a tree. It's either 10 years ago or today.
Right. There's no wrong time. But you do want to make sure you plant the right tree. This is very important. So you want to choose a species that will adapt to your climate. Well, you want to think about where you're planting that tree. And then also if it's something like a fruit tree, how big it might get, how you might pick that fruit, et cetera, care, pollination, things like that. And then if you're not sure about what type of tree to get, if you're looking for a native or
deciduous,
a tree that's going to work for your area or fit in, like maybe you don't want to plant a palm tree if you're in the north.
Well, if you're going to your garden center, your independent garden center or the big box store, and you're getting a tree in a pot, they're not going to have trees in pots that don't go in the climates that you're in.
Right.
99% of the time. If you're mail ordering, then you've got to look at that zone. They have the little thing on there rated for zones 3 to 6.
And that's why we would say go to your local garden center, your local nursery, contact your local extension office.
If you go to your nursery or your garden center, independent garden center, not the big box store, most of the time, those people care that you get the right product, the right time, and they'll instruct you how to put it in the ground so you can be successful.
Right. So that's very important.
As much as they want that return business, if they can help you be successful the first time, you're going to go back and buy something else the next time you need something.
Right. So another thing is that you want to make sure you either are staking the tree properly once you plant it, or if somebody plants it for you, you remove the stakes. You want to make sure that it's loosely staked and not staked into the root ball. And that's pretty much it. You want to use loose, flexible ties. The tree needs to blow in the wind to develop a strong trunk, and that's important. So you don't want to tie that thing down like a tent in a windstorm. You want to let it be able to blow around.
Well, I mean, most of these trees, you don't really necessarily have to stake them down. They're not radio towers. You know, they need that. You go in the woods, and you see how many trees are staked down. How many gnomes have staked trees?
That's the thing, that's why, you know, remove the stakes early. It's not even necessary. I'm saying if somebody staked it for you.
True.
Yeah. So another thing to keep in mind is we need to water the tree, and this is going to, whether it be a new tree, an older tree, what have you, this is something you want to start thinking about, especially if you live in an area that might have a drier climate. A lot of people think like, oh, you know, the tree's been established for so many years. But if it looks like, you know, you have a drought or a dry climate, you want to consider watering that tree.
Now, we can use the tree diaper. We'll talk more about that in the second segment here about watering. But other things, if you're building a small mini orchard, if you're just putting pine trees in or maples or oaks or whatever the case is, you want to make sure that you're protecting the trunk, whether that's mulching around it or designating an area where you're not running into it with the lawnmower trimmers, if you care about your tree. Now, there's sometimes, you know, on the farm, you just bounced off of it and you kept moving. But that's kind of, you know, the way things work there.
A lot of people mulch around their tree right now.
Right.
They refresh the mulch or whatever. So one thing you want to keep in mind is that you don't do what's called volcano mulching. And volcano mulching is
go to any city park, you'll see this.
Well, I don't know. I think the cities are now catching on to this, because the last time outside of my work office, the city put in trees, they did not volcano mulch.
Okay.
So volcano mulch is when it looks like there's a volcano of mulch around the tree, like the tree's shooting out the middle of a volcano. The mulch is straight up to the trunk and then kind of almost up the side of the trunk. You don't want to do that. That's not what you want to do. You want to mulch, and then you want to make a nice perimeter around the base of the tree so that the mulch is next to the tree but not directly onto it.
Right. With that volcanic mulching, you can cause root rot. You can cause a lot of damage to the tree. Let's talk about pruning. Generally, most of these trees, you would prune late winter, early spring, before any foliage begins to appear. Rule of thumb on that. And if you do have to prune in the spring, in the summer, you want to prune basically for two reasons and not removing more than 10% of the overall canopy. Your two reasons are pruning for safety to remove dead or dying decaying branches. Makes sense. Or you want to minimize the branches that could be damaging other branches.
Right. That's or could damage other branches.
You're shaping the tree to kind of get it in that form that you want. Minimal pruning for aesthetics as well. So mainly that if you think the tree is going to have problems dropping large things on top of people or property, you can pull those limbs and limbs out of the tree.
Another thing that goes with mulching kind of is to keep the grass away from the tree. And that's why most people mulch around the tree, but maybe you planted a tree last fall, you never got to mulch it, and now the grass is growing where the base of the tree, you would want to mulch over that. You can, if you have sod, you can cut the sod away. You might have already done that to plant the tree, but you definitely want to use that mulch to keep the grass away from the tree.
Now, contrary to tradition and wisdom, many experts consider late fall as the proper time to fertilize your tree. Now, when we say late fall, we want to make sure that the growth, the freeze has occurred, or the frost and freeze has occurred, and the tree is starting to go into dormancy. If you fertilize in early fall, the tree is still growing, and you're going to cause more growth on that tree before it goes into dormancy, which can cause more damage to those new growths than if you would just wait until an extra month or so. And there's different fertilizers based on the type of tree, and so you need to be aware of what you're going to do there. You can fertilize in the spring, not a problem, but you want to do it. Some people will use the fertilizer stakes and put them in X amount in a parameter of the based on the canopy of the tree. You can find those. Some people will just top dress it with a granular fertilizer. Many trees do not necessarily need to be fertilized. There are some that could use the benefit of fertilizing based on the amount, the goodness, the goody in the soil. So keep that in mind that you don't also want to damage the roots once the tree has either been planted or established by running heavy equipment over the areas where the roots would be at or next to the trunk. Now, where might the roots be on a tree? Look up. If you see limbs hanging over, where the canopy is where the roots are at, and probably just a little bit outside of that perimeter.
Right. So you definitely don't want to, if you plant a tree or you're going to do some sort of building, you want to be aware of where those roots are before you drive a dump truck onto your land or whatever to help protect those roots. Now, if it's like a one-time situation when you're maybe you have to drive over the area, the base of the tree, something to get something, some sort of equipment dropped off. It's not the end of the world, but you don't want to keep driving over where the roots could be.
And when we talk about fruit trees in this aspect, you can have fruit trees, plant them, and they can get 30, 40 feet tall and 20 or 30 feet wide. If that's the goal in which to harvest as much produce, whether it's apples or pears, it's not good when these things fall from 30 feet in the air. You can shape these. You can shape the trees. You're going to get less production, but better quality production.
But that's what people in orchards do.
Right.
They shape them. I mean, obviously, they have a lot more trees.
Well,
but
back
they do
where
shape
I'm from,
them.
We drive by that orchard, and I say, well, that used to be an orchard, and these trees are almost 60 foot tall, and just it's now a forest that used to be a very thriving peach and apple and pear orchard. It just went, to nothing.
One thing to keep in mind is protecting that tree. So if you, I know, over time, nature changes, your natural landscape changes. You might have deer that are now trying to eat the bark of your tree. I know I was just hiking in a state park, and these deer are now eating these cedar trees more prolifically. So you want to make sure that if you do notice like a deer or wildlife is eating the tree, maybe put some chicken wire on the base to help prevent that.
You can also use Ivy Organics 3-in-1 Plant Guard paint for the tree. I also use Deer Defeat. Spray accordingly to the instructions. Deer Defeat, all natural deer, rabbit, and groundhog repellent. Coupon code RADIO to save 10% on your order. That works very effectively as well. So we want to protect the trees. Plant one today if you didn't plant one 10 years ago. And be mindful of where you're planting it. As we wrap this up, look up. Make sure there's proper distance between you, where the tree is, and what may be, whether it's a barn, a shed, power lines. We want to be aware of this. And we also want to call Digger's Hotline before we start digging to make sure we're not going to hit any underground utilities that can cause bigger problems, not only for you, but for other people. Speaking about you and other people, do you like to eat the animals in which you harvest off your land, off your farm, off your homestead? Or you just want good seasonings to impress those who come over for barbecues or meals? Walton's Incorporated can fix and surpass all of your needs when it comes to those items.
Yeah, the Gardening with Joe and Holly radio show is brought to you today by Walton's Inc. We know you care about where your food comes from. You can get all of the equipment for making sausage, jerky, meat sticks, what have you. That includes the spices, that includes the flavoring, that includes everything from grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. You go to waltonsinc.com. And if you go to meatgistics.com, there's hows and whys of how meat processing, as well as a community of over 15,000 users who will help give their opinion and guidance on meat processing issues. So it's meatgistics.com or waltonsinc.com. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.